The liturgy is a continual or a continuing formation program, so it's good to put the readings of one day in the context of the flow of the whole year. Actually, we can just go back 1 week if we want to get the context for this week. Last Sunday, if you remember, we read about the call of Ezekiel. He was sent to the rebellious house of Israel, hard of face, obstinate of heart. So Ezekiel was told, you're going to go as a prophet, and whether they hear you or not, whether they accept you or not, they're going to know that a prophet was in their midst. And then in the gospel last Sunday, Jesus went to Nazareth, and he ran into people of a hard face and obstinate heart, and the people of Nazareth experience a prophet in their midst, and they completely rejected him. Well, this Sunday, we continue our reflection on the call of the prophets, which is also our call. The first reading is from the prophet Amos. Amos is being rejected by the priest Amaziah. In the gospel, Jesus is sending out the 12 apostles, prophets, evangelists, missionaries. The key to understanding this whole business of being prophets or being evangelists is in the very first line of the gospel. Jesus summoned the 12 and began to send them out. Summoned, called, sent. Summoned, sent. Called and sent. These are two essential parts of what it means to be a prophet, what it means to be a Christian. We are called and we are sent. If we have these two, then we have the whole understanding of our mission. If we don't have these two, we're building on sand. And all our efforts are going to go to waste. So first of all, to be summoned, to be called. This is most beautifully described in today's second reading. Paul writing to the Ephesians about our call. And it's breathtaking. It's unimaginable, the greatness of this call. So Paul, in this beautiful passage, says, blessed be God, because he has blessed us. So it starts with God blessing us. And then when we realize or start to realize what he has done in calling us, choosing us, blessing us, saving us, redeeming us, destining us for glory, then we bless God. So he says, blessed be God, because he has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavens. He's already given us everything. He has chosen us from before the foundation of the world. So it's not just that we're called in a moment when we experience God breaking into our life. We were called before we even existed. Our call existed in Christ before the foundation of the world, and our call is to be holy and without blemish before him. So God's vision of us is us being glorious, holy. He's not preoccupied with our sins. He's already taken care of the problem of sin. So this is the call. And it helps us understand why God calls us when we're obviously not worthy of it. Just like the 12, but they're obviously not worthy to be proclaiming the kingdom when they themselves are sinners, broken, weak men themselves. Well, God has already taken care of our brokenness in Christ. He's already destined us for glory. So there's the call, and then there is the mission, to be sent out. Jesus explains that on this mission, there are some things that we should not bring with us, and there are some things that we should not collect along the way. Some things that we should not bring with us, we don't need them, and some things that we should not cling to as we make our missionary journey. So what are we not supposed to bring with us? Well, nothing that would give us the idea that we can do it ourselves. That's why he says, don't bring any food, don't bring any sack, don't bring any money, don't bring any second tunic, don't bring anything that makes it look like you have enough, that makes you feel secure in this world. Very clear, he wants us to rely on him, not on ourselves or on what we have. Whatever gifts we have, whatever we've been given, that's not the key thing. The key thing is to be called and to trust in him as we go for it. So we don't need all the things that we think we need. What we need is God. And we have him. So we have everything we need. So that's the essential part of what we're supposed to bring with us. Now, a little later, he explains what we're not supposed to collect along the way. And he describes it as the dust. When we go forth as prophets, as evangelists, we're going to encounter opposition. Ezekiel encountered it. Amos encounters it. Jesus encountered it. We encounter it. There are going to be people who do not welcome us or our message, who don't even like us. That's the way it is. And Jesus says, well, if someone doesn't welcome you, if someone doesn't listen to you, leave there and shake the dust off your feet in testimony against them. Don't let the experience of being rejected cling to you. Don't let resentment about how you're treated prevent you from continuing on your missionary journey. So don't let the dust, don't let yourself be dirtied by the encounter with the dirt of the world. It's going to happen. Shake it off. Let it go. Forgive. Go forward. Don't be dragged down by the burdens of rejection, which are heavy and painful, but we cannot let them stop us, because those are circumstantial. They're not essential. All those hurts, those wounds, those burdens, shake them off with God's grace. Now, this brings up the question, if there are times when we must leave, we must shake off the dust and move on, how can we tell when we're supposed to stay and when we're supposed to leave? Well, let's look at Amos again. Amos runs into opposition from Amaziah. Amaziah says, well, leave. Leave. Shake the dust and go back home. We don't want you here anyway. Does Amos do that? No, he doesn't. Why? Because Amos is not under the authority of Amaziah. Amaziah thinks he's in charge of the shrine. He's the priest. He thinks he's in charge of the prophets. He's not. Prophets are answerable to God. Prophets are called by God and sent by God. So this is Amos's answer. I didn't make this up. It's not my idea. I didn't call myself. I didn't come up with the idea of prophesying. It was the Lord who found me as a shepherd and took me from the flock. And he said, go prophesy to my people Israel. So the reason I'm here is because God sent me. It goes back to the essentials, to be summoned and to be sent, to be called and to be sent. So in trying to figure out whether we're supposed to stay or leave, it goes back to the will of God. If God wants us to stay, we stay. If God wants us to leave, we leave. We're not basing our mission on whether on what other people think of us. Because if we tried to do that, we would be wasting all our time. You can't please everybody. Sometimes you can't please anybody. And that's the way it is. But that doesn't matter. We're here because God has sent us. Now, I know that in our current circumstances, it's a little hard to recognize being called and being sent. This is easy to see when we look at a missionary, you look at a priest who's set apart from his family and even his country, and he goes off to China or someplace and say, well, that guy, he's called and he's sent. But most people don't experience the call that clearly, and it's not that stark, and they don't experience being sent anywhere. They're still in the same place where they grew up, they live with their families, and that's the experience of most people. And in this time of the pandemic, a lot of people are experiencing even less the call and the being sent. They say, well, called, God isn't even saving us from this virus, and sent, we can't even go anywhere. We're stuck at home, working from home. We can't go to the mall. We can't go to the province. We can't leave the city because of the quarantines. And so how can we recognize ourselves as being called and sent if we can't go anywhere, if we're locked down? And so some people have had this experience during the pandemic of feeling farther from God and feeling more confined. That's not what God has in mind with this pandemic. It's a time of purification. It's a time of refocusing, getting the essentials so that we won't be distracted by all the things that we think are important. It's terrible if this trial doesn't bear good fruit for us. The good fruit should be, oh, let's go back to the basics. What does God want? What is he saying? What is he sending us to do? So we have to discover God's choice of us, God's, the call that we have from God. That's essential. If we don't know God loves us, if we don't know that he has personally chosen us, we have to find that out. We can't do anything else unless we know God is on our side. So we keep crying out to him, Lord, show us. Show us your face. Lord, let us see your kindness. Lord, grant us your salvation. That was today's psalm. Let us see your kindness. Let us be renewed in our relationship with you. That's the beginning of everything. And then, on that basis, we say, well, what do you want me to do? To whom are you sending me? He might be sending us to one person. Might be to one homebound person or one child. Well, there's no married people here. But there's no one spouse, one elderly person. We shouldn't think that being called and being sent is going to be impressive in the eyes of the world. It might look like nothing at all on the surface. So don't think that it's going to be something we can boast about on CNN or something. No, our call comes from God. It's deeper than anything people can see. And our mission comes from God, and it won't be impressive or even noticed by the world. God knows. God knows what he's doing. He sends us to the people whom he knows need our presence, even if it's only one person, even if we're locked down at home, working from home, or if our home is our mission territory, fine. If that's what God wants, praise the Lord. So let us be renewed by these readings, recognizing the profound depth of being called from before the foundation of the world. Recognize the beauty of God's plan in our lives, It doesn't look beautiful to the world. It might not even look beautiful to us. But if we look beneath the surface, it's breathtakingly beautiful, what God has in mind for us. And it only will get better as we enter into eternal life. So no matter how bad it looks, God has in mind for us that we exist forever for the praise of His glory.